Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip, and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast. Part of my mission in ensuring your pregnancy, birth, and motherhood journeys are supported, positive, and empowering. Are you ready? Let's get chatting. Being a mum is great, but the sleep, oh my goodness, the relentlessness of continual sleep deprivation is super tough. I'm not sure it's even something you can really prepare for or truly understand until you actually experience it yourself either, to be honest. Now, this week, I'm joined by the lovely Emma Jorlin, mum of two and host of the Mum Talk podcast. Emma is very aware of the real sleep challenges that come with motherhood. So if you're a new mum tuning in today, please grab a cup of tea, put your feet up, and know that you are going to be in great company talking about being a sleep-deprived mum with us. So welcome, Emma, and thank you for coming on, tired and all.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It is a hot topic right now, so I'm really pleased that we can just have a chat about it, normalise it, and share our experiences about it. We're not the only ones.
We are not. Isn't that interesting, Emma? Because we're not the only ones, but when you're in it, you do feel like you're the only one. Don't
you? Oh my goodness, yes. That's actually sometimes why at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I'm on my Instagram and I just post.
I'm awake. That you're awake.
Is anyone else awake? And I have this influx of direct messages being like, yes, I'm here too. I'm here too. And it may sound really silly, but actually it's just so heartwarming to think, okay, I'm not by myself. There's plenty of people who are outside of my household awake with their babies right now, and it's tough. It's really hard.
It's really hard. Are you willing to confess how much caffeine you've consumed today, Emma?
You know what? I actually don't drink coffee.
Do you? That's why. That is what, where you've been going wrong. That's why you're struggling. Come on.
I know. Hot drinks. Actually, I went off hot drinks completely with my first pregnancy with Amandine and never really picked them up again. I was more of kind of a herbal tea drinker, but coffee just sends me over the edge. It just gives me the shakes. And then anything that I'm feeling anxious about or unnerved about, it just goes next level. So it's best for me. Coffee flavored chocolate, however, give me some of that and I'll very happily consume.
Do you know what? I could be converted by that. My husband's like you, doesn't drink hot drinks particularly, or definitely not coffee. But since we've had little Finley, he has been known to have a few cups of coffee. I think it's just desperation, isn't it? And survival.
I think it is.
Because it's tough, isn't it? And that's what I think it's really important that we want to talk about tonight. It's tonight for us. For everyone listening, it's not tonight. It's tonight for me and Emma, because we're both sat here with baby monitors in hand, praying that our babies stay asleep while we chat to you. So if you hear any little cries in the background, that's because we are real mums doing it the real way.
Absolutely.
But normalising sleep or lack of, I suppose, I think that's one of the biggest challenges, certainly one of the biggest challenges that I found. Because when you see pictures of babies, they're always asleep and people are like, oh, I slept like a baby. Mm. Babies don't bloom in sleep, so I don't know where these babies are.
Where did that saying come from? Every time someone says that, I'm like, you clearly don't have a child.
No, because... you clearly, yeah. Whoever made that up doesn't have a family, like, no, for sure.
I know. I feel like this might be a really sexist thing to say, but I feel like it could have been a man who came up with that saying.
And maybe if his partner was breastfeeding, he did think the baby slept through the night.
Yeah, possibly. Sorry to the men who are really hands-on right now who are listening to that. No offense, no offense meant.
But it's true though, isn't it? Because they don't just lie there in their Moses basket looking beautifully asleep. That's just not what happens often.
No, it's not. And you know what? From day one, I think there's so much pressure we can put on ourselves, literally from day one, to have them sleeping in their next to me crib or whatever it is, you know, sleeping, having naps, lying down in the buggy or taking really scheduled naps throughout the day. And you might have a routine baby who loves routine. You know, Amandine, my first, she absolutely adored routine. And once we found what worked for her, she loved it. And she is a good sleeper and has been a great sleeper. But I think there's just this unnecessary pressure kind of put on us of baby needs to sleep. When actually, I think the best thing I ever read was from this brilliant woman over in America who I followed called Taking Care of Babies. Have you heard of her?
No, but oh yeah, she's fantastic. That's her Instagram handle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's her Instagram handle. Yeah, I don't think I know. Well, I guess Cara is her name. It's Taking Care of Babies. But she said, give babies the opportunity to sleep and the space to sleep throughout the day. You're offering them opportunities. If they want to take it, fantastic. If they don't want to take it, move on. And that really, really helped for me, especially with my second, with Elwood, who is the most appalling sleeper. I'm not going to say on this planet. I'm sure there's worse, but he is an appalling sleeper.
He's up there with the babies that don't sleep massively overnight, isn't he?
He really is. And that, just having that mantra almost in my head the whole time when I felt myself getting really worked up, thinking, why are you not going down for this nap? This is a scheduled nap. What is happening? I just thought, no, I've offered it. I have offered it. He hasn't taken it. Let's move on. And
that's I think that's quite powerful, isn't it? Because I definitely fell into that trap, Emma, of trying to stick to a routine. But Finley didn't want to have a routine. He was very much like go with the flow. And now that he's just got himself into a routine, and then I've supported it. And because I realized I was spending way too much time stressing about a routine rather than enjoying my baby. Yeah. And now that he does have a kind of routine that he sticks to, and it's not like he has a nap at 9 o'clock. It's like he's been awake about 3 hours. Let's see if you want to go to sleep type routine. But actually now it makes life a bit more difficult because you can't just go out and like, you know, you kind of have to have a plan to where you're going to be, when you're going to have a nap. Are you going to be back in the pram? Are you going to do a car journey? Are you going to be at home in the cot? So actually, I think it was easier when we just went with the flow and he sat in the carrier and did whatever he wanted, like whenever he wanted. So to anyone who is in those early days and weeks thinking that a routine is going to be like the best thing, actually enjoy the like spontaneity of a newborn and just being able to take them anywhere and go out for dinner still and things like that, because it doesn't last, does it?
It doesn't. And I could not agree more. If people could see me right now, my head is like nodding like one of those Churchill dogs, because that is exactly what happened with Amandine and I. Amandine, well, and my husband, but Amandine loved a routine, but that was really detrimental to enjoying life with a newborn and actually my mental health, because on one hand, it was great because I knew when Amandine was going to go down. But she only napped in her cot. She would never nap in the buggy. So I could never be out for a nap. And my friends would meet, my NCT friends or my yoga friends would meet up, and I'd have to be like, I can't do it. It's at nap time. And, you know, Amandine doesn't nap in the buggy. She doesn't nap in the car. You know, I can't come. And actually that was really difficult. I found that really difficult. Wonderful on one hand, and actually from the podcast side of things, it meant that I could really get ahead on the podcast and do some work alongside having a newborn and then a baby, and actually even a toddler. She's four, well, she's almost four, and she still sleeps and she still has a nap.
That's she. That's really interesting. Yeah. She's a baby that needs sleep.
Yeah, she asks for it every single day now. We say to her, would you like to have a nap? You don't have to. You can sit on the sofa and have some quiet time, or, you know, we can go out, do whatever you want to do. no, I want to go for my nap now, please. And she'll take herself upstairs, she'll get into her pyjamas and she'll get into bed. And
love her.
Yeah, you don't love her when you have to go in after an hour to wake her up, because any longer than an hour, bedtime is a nightmare. Yeah. She already goes to bed like 8:30, it's quite late. But to be honest, we're not evening people. We are in bed when Amandine's in bed. So if she has a slightly later bedtime and a nap at lunchtime, that's fine. And also my husband's French. So it's literally built into his body that he has to have an hour's nap at lunchtime. And I remember him saying to me, when Amandine stops napping, what am I going to do? Because I need that hour's nap.
Oh, I love it. That's so I need to order a baby like her next time. That's what I'm going to put in. I'm ordering.
Yeah, but I paid for it this time.
True.
I paid for it this time.
And isn't that interesting? Like, same parents, same home environment, two completely different sleepers. Interestingly, Emma, I was speaking to a friend the other day whose little one was poorly at the same time as my little Finley was poorly. Now, she's a little girl. And I hope this doesn't sound sexist. It's not meant to. But anyway, when Finley's poorly, he's like on mummy, like will not be put down, like clingy, clingy, hold me, feed me, feed me. And then her little girl is the complete opposite. She's like, don't touch me. She slept like through the night for the first time ever and then had like a 4-hour morning nap and a massive lie-in. And I was like, isn't that really reflective of how women deal with stuff in life, like a cold? And how men deal with it in life.
It's built into us from birth.
Isn't it? I was like, Finley's going to be that man cold, you know, useless. Whereas her little girl is going to be back at work and having no issues with her cold. Typical.
You know, I'd never thought about it like that, but that's probably so true. That's really funny. Amandine actually, luckily, she touched wood. She's very rarely poorly. I think we're going to pay for that though. When she starts preschool in September, I think we're probably going
She'll get everything going, and then
I'll get everything going, and it'll just be one of those horrible periods of time between September and Christmas, I guess. But yeah, Elwood, my gosh, routine-wise, sorry, going back to your original kind of topic question, he has not wanted to have a routine, and actually, it's been impossible to have a routine with him because. You know, Amandine, she is almost 4. We had things that we needed to be at. She likes to do ballet on a Tuesday morning, which she loves. She wants to have play dates with her friends. We want to go out and about. So I couldn't have the same baby, essentially, having a nap in his cot in the morning and at lunchtime and in the afternoon. We'd never go out. And then poor Amandine would be stuck at home. Not being able to do anything. So,
and you'd be going stir crazy as well.
I would be going stir crazy, absolutely. Although Elwood being such a poor napper has given me so much mum guilt because I haven't been able to spend that quality time with Amandine, or it's been really very difficult to spend quality time with Amandine. And that was such a huge concern of mine when I was pregnant with my second. And everyone always said, well, you know, when baby sleeps, you can have that really solid quality time with Amandine. But it just didn't happen. It really didn't happen. And I have found that very, very difficult. And it's only now Elwood's 1, he's not really taking so much milk, or we know exactly kind of the times when he's going to really want it. And he might be able to just have a sippy cup of water for a bit and some snacks to kind of tide him over. That I'm able to go out and do a few things, just me and my daughter. So that's been something I've had to get my head around. But it's crazy how different they can be. It really is. And it shocked me. It did shock me because I thought, you know, I've had a good sleeper. I know what I'm doing. We're going to be fine. But no, I was knocked off my feet completely. And with the podcast as well, because, you know, the podcast I did at nap time. You know, as a working mom, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and it's naptime hours or it's nighttime hours. And with Elwood not going down well at nighttime and him not going down well in naps or only getting 20 minute naps, it's just been impossible or really hard. It's been really hard.
A quick pause to remind you of the importance in protecting your mental well-being during pregnancy. Talking, sharing your worries and concerns can really help to lessen them and to help you realise you are not alone. For more expert information, sign up to apticlub.co.uk. Really hard. And I struggled because when you're booking podcast guests, obviously you need to tell them the time. I can't just be like, I'll call you at some point on Tuesday afternoon when my baby's asleep. And Finley, although now it's slightly different, but until the last month, really, he hasn't had like a specific, I know he'll have a morning and afternoon nap, but I don't know when it will be. Mm. So more often than not, Finley is on the podcast. So people that have got this far into this season have probably heard a lot of Finley, because the only way to do it was with him on my lap. So that's what we did. Because otherwise you'd be cancelling life left, right and centre. So you just have to get on with it, don't you, sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. I've had many of those. Pretty much all of the first ones with Amandine, she was either feeding and asleep on my boob. So there was lots of suckling noises, which might not have been everyone's cup of tea.
Oh, it's cute.
It is cute, but might not have been everyone's cup of tea. And then with Elwood, he was much noisier. So that had to stop much earlier. I remember recording a podcast with Vern from Carry Fit.
Yeah.
And Elwood just, it was just one of those podcasts where I was sweating so much because Elwood was climbing all over me. He went from boob to boob and I was sitting on my bed so I wasn't comfortable and he was crying and I was just trying to pacify him and it was just
stressful.
So stressful.
And you're like, how long have we been talking for? Can we end this? Yeah, have we done enough?
It's like, any more points to share with everybody?
Cut, cut, cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love it.
It was after that one, I was like, I can't do that anymore.
This isn't going to work. I'm going to dread it all day.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I find beyond infuriating, Emma, and I'm sure you probably sit in the same camp as me, is the really well-meaning but really freaking annoying when you're in the moment sleep advice from everybody, expert or not. You know, great Aunt June has got the optimal sleep advice for you.
Or the mother-in-law.
Anybody, actually. How on earth have you managed that? Because I've had to bite my lip a few times.
I mean, I haven't bit my lip so much. Or I just come out with like, yeah, that doesn't work for my baby.
Yeah, politely tell them to shut up. Perfect.
No, literally. But I then kind of backtrack and like, sorry if that sounded slightly abrupt. I'm a little bit sleep deprived. But, you know, I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you don't want to offend anybody. And it is tricky, especially in the world of Instagram, because when you say, I'll talk about it in two instances. You've got kind of the world of Instagram where you probably know this. You put out there that your kid's not sleeping well or that they're ill and you get an influx of very well-meaning and kind advice. But I now caveat it and I put like, oh, it isn't sleeping. And then a star at the bottom saying, I don't need any advice. Thank you. Because otherwise you do. And you know, every child is so, so individual. And also every parent is so individual. And what, you know, I am so pro doing whatever works for you and your baby. That may well be sleep training. That may well be not sleep training and feeding to sleep. You know, I fed Amandine to sleep until I stopped breastfeeding at 14 months. And she slept through the night from about 7 months old. So it never kind of stopped her from sleeping. Whereas Elwood, we've had to try a different tack because feeding to sleep is obviously stopping him from being able to self-settle in the night. So it's so different. But I think in terms of family saying, or even, you know, husband like Hendrik will say, why don't you just give Elwood a bottle of formula before you go to bed? Because he's read somewhere that formula, but you know, if you give a child formula, they'll sleep better, which isn't necessarily the case. It really isn't.
It's and they have to be able to take a bottle, which my baby is very much not a fan of.
Well, exactly. And exactly. And I think, you know, even the sleep experts who are also all very well-meaning, they all have different tacks of how to do it. They all have different ways of doing it. And you know, you have to just find some way that works for you, and then just politely, or not politely, depending on how sleep deprived you are, say thank you so much, but
I'm going to ignore that advice.
We're just going to find our own route here, and I think I've, you know, I think I'm all right for advice and getting it sorted. Hendrik's mum told me, you know, I know this is very much a normal thing when you get to a certain age to give them water in the night rather than milk. I know that's very normal, but she said to do it when he was like 5 months old. I was like, thanks, but no.
Not going to do that. No.
I'm not going to do that because he's still nutritionally probably is hungry in the middle of the night and needs something apart from water.
And I don't want to completely screw my breast milk supply either, thanks.
No. But also, you know, guidance has changed so much from, say, our mother-in-law's time, who are maybe 70, 80, 60, whatever age they are. Guidance has really changed across that time. I think it was a lot, although I say to my mum, she said I could never let you cry yourselves to sleep. I always had to come in and rock and, you know. But I have plenty of friends who sleep drain, and you get to a certain point. I'm waffling, I'm sorry, but you get to a certain point where what you're doing might not be sustainable. And that's where I've got to with Elwood. You know, he was waking up, he's 13 months, and he was waking up 4-5 times a night.
That's like newborn stages, isn't it, Emma?
Yeah, and it has been hellish. And I got to the point about 2-3 weeks ago, I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I literally am a shadow of myself mentally and physically. I just can't do this anymore. Something's got to change. And as you know, it did change. And then we had the jabs.
And then you had the jabs.
The 1 year jabs. And it's just been a horrific week. But we did it once. We can do it again, right?
And that's the thing, though, with sleep, isn't it? We expect to be like, right, breakthrough. And then it's just going to be this beautiful, like, uphill linear graph. But that's not how it is. It's like bumps in the road and illness, teething. It's going to throw things. So feeding to sleep, I think, is really interesting because I also, Emma, have fed Finley to sleep until about maybe 3 weeks ago. I started thinking, okay, we need to change things. But yeah, feeding to sleep gets a lot of bad press, doesn't it? And I think it's really important that women know it is absolutely fine to feed your baby to sleep. There's nothing
absolutely
wrong with it. You're not getting into bad sleep habits.
No.
If it works for you, that's perfect. Often it is the quickest and the easiest way to get baby back to sleep. And that's great. I had to just think about changing things up, not because it wasn't particularly working for us, but because I'm going back to work soon on nights.
Yeah.
And I felt like I couldn't just feed him to sleep. Usually it was twice overnight. So it actually felt really sustainable. It was like 2 10-minute feeds. That was fine with me. But I was like, I'm going to feel horrific if I suddenly just whisk off one night and he's going to wake up expecting that and it's not there. He doesn't take a bottle. There is literally no replacement. So I was like, I need to know that this isn't a barrier before I go back to work, because I feel like with me here, it's more gentle than if all of a sudden I'm gone. So that's why for us, it was no longer working. But I honestly think if I wasn't going to back to work on nights, I probably still feed him to sleep, because it actually worked really fine for us. I had no issues with it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No, and you know what? If Elwood wakes in the night, I still feed him back to sleep, because it is just too much for me to try and settle him without it, because he goes apocalyptic. He gets so angry in the middle of the night when I don't give him boob. So what we've done is, I guess I'm trying to do a bit of a slow progression, hoping that he just won't wake up in the middle of the night one day, which is what he did before the jabs. The bedtime feed, essentially, I'm doing before we have bath, pajamas, bedtime feed, a little good night with Amandine, books, and then songs, and then into the cot. And the first time I did it, I was really stressed. I was thinking, this is never going to work. He's going to go crazy. He went straight down and straight to sleep.
Wow.
It really surprised me. The next two nights when he knew what was going to happen were a little bit different and a little bit more of a struggle. And he kind of let out a few little cries, but nothing. He wasn't getting himself upset. It was just kind of like, oh, I don't like this. This is annoying.
Come back. This isn't the deal.
Yeah. But in the middle of the night, when I just want to go to sleep, it is the fastest way for me, anyway, and for you, it sounds, to put them on the boob. They'll kind of suckle themselves back off to sleep, lie them back down in the cot, and then you can go get another few hours kip, you know? And I really do. It does. It gets so much bad press, feeding to sleep. It does make me cross because you're not. If it works for you, it works. You know, it's such a natural.
I felt like it was my superpower.
Well, exactly.
I was like, I can just get him to sleep like this. Like, this is amazing. It's what we were designed to do. It's a brilliant trick to have, I think, in your kind of motherhood bag of tricks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, if you're feeling to sleep and it's working, feed to sleep, then that is absolutely fine. And I think often we hear this kind of like, oh, you know, you're, they've got you wrapped around their finger, or it's a bad sleep habit, or you're spoiling them. And all of that is like utter nonsense, isn't it? Like, you can't spoil a new baby with too much cuddles or feeding or whatever that is for you. And they're actually too young to develop deep grain sleep habits. So you actually can't do anything wrong, whatever it is you're doing, whether it's using a dummy, rocking them, singing them, bouncing them, whatever that is for you. If it works, roll with it.
And even if you're feeding them back to sleep with a bottle in the night, you know, it's so normal to do that. The other thing I was going to say quickly, which has just completely gone out of my head, is it going to work its way back into my brain?
This is why you need to take up caffeine, Emma.
Yeah, I know. This is it was sitting there at the front of my mind. It'll come back to me.
Throw it out when it comes back. That's fine. My other question for you was, given as we've both done a fair few months, or in your case, years, of breastfeeding overnight, one of the questions I get so much on my Instagram is, how do you manage those night feeds and staying awake? Because that's always a challenge. If you're not co-sleeping, actually staying awake can be really stressful.
I have a really uncomfortable chair that I sit in.
You're selling
it. It's that simple. For me, it was that simple. So with Amaldine, I had this really, it was just actually a very, very old IKEA kind of super laid back swivel chair, an old one of Hendrick's. And for Amaldine, I had that and I would fall asleep in it. And every time I'd wake up, and because it was quite high, so my head would be nice and supported. And I'd wake up feeling, oh my gosh, where's Amaldine? Okay, she's still on me. How many hours have I been here? You know, and I would wake up with that huge amount of anxiety and panic. So this time I have this very old antique, it's like my uncle's super old office chair, like leather chair. So you can't sit on it too long because you kind of slip down because it's leather and slip off. It is bolt upright, kind of like a bolt L shape. It doesn't have any much padding at the back. I have to contortion my body round and put one leg over the armrest so Elwood can fit across my body because he's so long now. And I feel like the chair's almost indented itself in my back and my leg the amount of times that I feed. I actually, like, I'm not even kidding, because I looked at my back the other day and I was like, that's weird. There's such a big line there that never used to be there before. And I think it's the chair.
You've like tattooed the chair onto you.
Pretty much. But that's how I've done it this time. I have, the amount of times I've thought, I am going downstairs and I'm bringing that comfy chair back upstairs, but I know it's not the best place for, you know, me to be. So that's how I'm doing it.
You're like torturing yourself.
I know.
I'm going to get out five times overnight and sit in the worst chair I can think of. And I'm not going to drink caffeine.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. What am I doing? I mean, I will have time. So I'm like, this is ridiculous. Whilst Elwood's been poorly, he's come back into bed with me. Hendrick actually sleeps in our garage. It's a converted garage. Whenever I say garage, people are like, wow,
we've really pitched a tent.
Exactly. This converted garage, but he actually sleeps in there at the moment. And which works, it actually works really well for us. And it just means that the bed is free if I need Elwood to come in with me, or if Amandine's having a nightmare, or and she needs to come in with me. It just, you know, there's no hassle there.
Yeah.
So, that's how I deal with sleep.
I love that. That's so funny. I've got like a beautiful, comfy nursing chair with like a footstool, nice. And it rocks, and it's wonderful.
Oh, well, how do you stay awake then?
Yeah, well, I eat. So,
what, in the middle of the night?
Oh, not anymore. Okay. But for the first, I'm going to say 5 months, I was eating like bagels, flapjacks. You name it. There's pockets down the side of my chair that are just like optimal stack pockets. One. Oh, very fancy. And like cold water. So when like thinly wake, I would go by the bathroom, fill my, the stainless steel bottles that stay really cold with really cold water, drink that whilst I was feeding and treat myself to some nice snacks. And that was like my motivation to get out of bed. I'm really easily bribed with food. So it worked quite well.
You know, actually I am on my phone a lot as well, which I do regret actually, but it does keep me awake. But that is a time, especially with Elwood's poor sleep. There are a lot of emails sent at an awful hour, at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I'll get someone emailing me back being like, wow, you were up early. Like, I did go back to sleep, but I just, you know, did a bit of life admin whilst I was feeding. Also a bit of late night internet shopping.
So much internet shopping.
As bad as
like 3 a.m.
Or Googling, especially Dr. Google. I don't recommend
how to make my baby sleep.
Yeah, that. Oh, if you went on my kind of search bar, that would pop up very quickly. Also, like, you know, at what point in a 1-year-old's temperature do you take them to A&E? That's been a very recent Google search. Rashes, don't do it. Just call your GP in the morning or call 111 in the morning.
Because before you know it, you've diagnosed them with like horrendous stuff.
Oh yeah, we spoke about that on my podcast, didn't we? We definitely gave both of our children diagnosis.
We diagnosed them. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
But our rational, as mums, I feel like our rational brain sometimes is a little bit off wall because you're so worried. And then in the middle of the night, it's just like, you know, you talk yourself into a complete like mess, don't you really? So yeah, definitely. But the shopping's so funny because I remember literally in the first few weeks, months, it feels like ages ago now, even though Finley's only 9.5 months, it wasn't actually that long ago. But when I look back, I'm like, oh, that feels like a lifetime ago, those really early weeks. But I remember literally buying every single sleep gadget, swaddle, you know, white noise machine. Like we could have
love a white noise.
I know, we could have redone our kitchen, I think, for the amount of online shopping I did. And you know what? Not one thing made any difference.
Oh,
and
no, really?
The white, nothing made any difference. The white noise that we use now is like off Spotify on an old iPad because nothing else worked. Try not to do the buying every gadget. But I feel like if you're desperate, you are a bit of a marketer's dream, aren't you?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we had the little thing that you put in the cot and it's meant to like make the cot like vibrate. Well, it didn't work. That was like 40 quid. No, rubbish. Oh, well, honestly, I bought every gadget because I was like, this will be the thing. I'm going to put this in my 5-week-old's cot and they're going to sleep through the night. I was ever optimistic.
You know what? There are a few things just for us that have really worked, and it's just a few key things. For buggy naps, the, what's it called? Snooze shade. Absolute must.
Yes, love that.
And that's what, like 15 quid?
Yeah, they're brilliant. And great for like sunny countries or when you just want to have some quiet time.
Fantastic. And this is the main thing that really peeves me about buggies is their sun.
They don't really work.
The only one that I think works is the Bugaboo because it comes, it's super extendable, it comes all the way down. And maybe the upper Baby Vista, that one's quite good as well. But so pretty much every other buggy you need to have like this snooze shade type thing, I think anyway. Well, it's been a game changer for us. Also, Marpak White Noise has been a game changer. Actual fan white noise, so it's not recorded, and that was really helpful. So our entire house sleeps with white noise. White noise actually started with my husband because he's an airline pilot. So white noise is very calming for him. And he slept with white noise for a very, very long time. So it was just quite natural for our children to, well, I mean, actually, because we were sleeping in the same room and Amandine was
They got used to it.
They got used to it. And the children don't really go to sleep without it now. But anyway, and what was the other thing? The rocket rocker. When you're out and about in the buggy, because if your child's anything like Elwood, the minute I stop the buggy, he's awake. In the car, if I stop the car, he's awake.
Yeah, they know, don't they? They know. I think Finley knows as I pull onto our driveway.
Yes.
It's like he noticed I've gone into reverse and he's like, here we are.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But they're, I would say that just those things, and actually in the new days, Elwood was the most amazing sleeper for the first 8 weeks of his life because he was swaddled.
Oh, interesting.
And then he started to roll really early and he rolled in the swaddle. So I had to take him out and then sleep went
down
out the window.
So I think, I mean, Finley sleep's never been good until we, like, we found a sleep training that feels gentle enough for me that I'm comfortable with it. And he's responded to it brilliantly.
Nice.
So now I feel like we're on like a bit of an upward, you know. Mm. But until then, he's never been a great sleeper. But he's been a really late roller, so he didn't. He's huge, and I think that's probably why. Like he had the inclination, like he was reaching and like half turning his body, but just couldn't shift his weight. So it wasn't until he was about almost 8 months actually that he actually managed to roll. And now he like doesn't stop. He thinks it's like a party trick. Yeah. But because of that, I never had that like sleep disturbance at night where they're trying to roll and practice, because he was a bit like, I just can't do it, so I'm just gonna just lie here. So in a way that was probably a blessing, whereas now I watch him when he's going to sleep and he's like rolling here, rolling there, grabbing the bars, and I'm like, oh gosh, it was so much easier. I worried about you not rolling, and now that you do, I'm like, oh, it was easier when you were still.
Yeah, and they get their arms stuck in the bars, but you're not meant to use the cot bumpers. Yeah. And you're like, well, he's sticking his arm out. It's going to break.
I know.
But yeah. Oh, gosh. Well,
how do we do it?
Just, I know. I don't know. Doesn't it just show you, though, how you just cannot compare babies?
100%.
You know, my baby started to attempt to roll onto his front when he was 8 weeks old. It's just, you just can't compare.
You know, you just can't. But isn't that such a good point? Because we are horrendous at comparing, especially when it comes to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that was another point that I was going to make about sleep advice, is it is the hardest. It's actually really hard from both instances. And I have experienced both instances because I've had a great sleeper and a really bad sleeper. With Amandine, I would meet up with my friends and I would be listening to everyone's sleep concerns and that their babies weren't sleeping. And I actually felt like I had to keep my mouth shut and I couldn't be part of the conversation, because I never wanted to make anybody feel like I was either boasting or saying, oh, you know, my baby's amazing, they're sleeping. I just, you know, I didn't feel like I could be part of it because Amandine was an amazing sleeper. And that was actually really difficult because, you know, someone would say, you know, well, how's Amandine sleeping? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, no, you know, she's okay. We're finding our routine. When actually I wanted to say, well, she's brilliant.
Yeah. You know?
And I've had it on the other hand where everyone's talking about how they're in such a routine and their babies go down at this time and this time and this time. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? How are you doing that? What I must be doing something wrong. And, you know, you're not necessarily doing anything
you're
wrong.
You're so not. I remember the amount of times I've said to my husband, right, I'm obviously not getting this right. You know, I'm doing something wrong. What is it I'm doing? Is it daytime? Is it nighttime? And then you're like, actually, no, this is just your baby's normal. All you're doing actually is responding to their needs. Yeah. And that is our number one role as a parent. There's nothing wrong with doing that at all.
No. And it changes so quickly. You know, you might get a week of they're having a nap after being awake for 2 hours in the morning and then awake for another 3 hours and then they have another nap and then awake for another 3 hours and then they go to bed or whatever it is. Because I think you go by awake times too, right? I tend to go by awake times.
Yeah, I kind of like easier. You've been awake 3 hours, let's have a sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm also not one for, if they're sleeping until 7:30, going in at like 7 to wake them up to make sure they have their nap at 9. I do not wake my...
Oh, I would love it if Finley ever slept until 7:30. He wakes up before 6 and I ignore him until 6 o'clock. So I'm like, that's nighttime.
Yeah, that is
nighttime. We get up at daytime, which is after 6 o'clock.
Yeah, but it is really confusing. Amandine right now, it's light at what, like 4:30 at the minute? She comes in, she's like, the sky is awake, mummy. Is it time to get up?
Oh.
I'm like, no.
Definitely not.
Get your butt back into bed. It is really the middle of the night.
Yeah, oh, bless her. It's so hard. It's so hard, isn't it? Especially like having a second, I think. I mean, I've obviously only got one, but it's a whole different thing, isn't it? Like you said, you can't dedicate your entire life to their sleep because you've got another one you don't want them to disturb.
Yeah. And I again found that really difficult actually in the early days, especially when Hendrik was out working a lot more, because I would have to do a lot more bedtimes by myself. And, you know, it's a very normal occurrence, but I would be sitting, feeding Elwood, trying to feed him to sleep. Amandine would be coming in and out of the room. And then Elwood would maybe be feeding in the middle of the night. And then Amandine would wake up because she had a bad dream. And I would have to think, okay, what am I going to do here? Elwood's on the boob. If I move into Amandine's room, he's going to really wake up. Then it'll be a real pain in the butt to get him back down again. But I don't want to leave Amandine crying because she's had a bad dream and she might be scared. And it's just trying to think, oh, how am I going to do this? And I've done it multiple ways. I've left Amandine to try and hopefully sort it out, or just take a breath and wake up and turn on her light, and kept Elwood. And I've also gone in with Elwood attached to boob, and he's woken up and it's been a nightmare and just kind of all hell's broken loose. I don't know what the right way is. I really don't. But it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, so I think that's, oh gosh, yeah. I would love to have lots of babies, but I don't know if I can.
I know. I also admire mums who, you know, just like yourself, you're gonna go back to work when, you know, when they're a year.
Yeah.
If you know, I'm self-employed, so I have the luxury of kind of taking my day a little bit more easy if I have, you know, had an appalling night's sleep. But, you know, if you've got to go to work and you've just had a night like that, like if I had to go and work for somebody right now, I'm pretty sure I would have lost my job, because my brain is not functioning. It's just not there, you know, it's just not there, which all of you listening can probably tell, because I keep going off topic and waffling left, right, and centre.
No, you're fabulous, Emma, you're fabulous. Now, what are then your day-to-day functioning, like, tips? Because obviously you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to get through like 12 hours. When is it bedtime? But then you get to bedtime, and bedtime is basically like daytime when you've got Elwood waking up five times.
Yeah.
How do you function? What are your tips?
If I can, and I know, you know, it really used to peeve me when I heard other people say this.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I know you do. If you can, just having like 15 minutes before anyone else wakes up.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, what did you think I was going to say?
No, I thought you were going to say my most unfavourite sleep advice, which is sleep when the baby sleeps.
Oh god, no, I don't do that.
Okay, thanks, that. We can be friends.
I'll get to that. No, my first one is that if you possibly can, just have that 15 minutes, you know, 90% of the time, in fact probably more of that, 95% of the time, I can't do that, because Elwood wakes up long before I intend to get out of bed. Like 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock, and I attempt to go in, feed him back to sleep, but that never works, and he's up for the day, and, you know, everything's gone to the proverbial. But when he has slept until 6:30, and I've kind of been awake monitor watching, I've actually thought, no, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go downstairs, I'm going to have a glass of water, brush my teeth, get dressed, you know, whatever it might be. If you meditate, or if you journal, or if you're tuning into a podcast that you like, just have that amazing time for yourself, because I feel like if I haven't got that and I am bombarded by child number one, child number two, child number three, also known as my husband,
you're like touched out.
I'm touched out. I'm thought processed out. I have no space in my head for any of my own thoughts or opinions. And I think that's actually been the biggest shock to me, is someone will ask me a question and I have no space to form my own opinion because something, I just feel like I'm being catapulted by so many different people or thoughts or whatever in my head that there's no space to actually form my own opinion. So yes, 15 minutes or 5 minutes, anything, whatever it might be, to just have to yourself. And then sleep when the baby sleeps. Yeah, no. I envy people who can do it. I really do. Even when I've tried this week, okay, I have really tried this week to nap at any point that Elwood or Amaldine has been napping, but it's just not worked. I've laid my head down and then the doctor's called for a very kind checkup on Elwood, but, you know, my head's just gone down on the pillow. They're not to know that though. Or I put my head down on the pillow and Elwood wakes up. Or I put my head down on the pillow and I suddenly remember that I've got this email that I've got to send. Or, you know, it just doesn't work for me. I can't do it. And I've never been able to do it, even from my first, you know, sleep when the baby sleeps. There's stuff to do.
Well, especially when you are, like us, working on what would be like maternity leave typically. Because when they sleep is your time to like head down, get loads of work done, because when Finley's awake I want to be entirely present with him and not like half sending emails on my phone or trying not to record. But it's a juggle, isn't it? It's such a juggle. But I really try and use nap time to do that as much as possible whenever I can. I'm guilty of not nailing that, but I try to. So if I was to sleep, I think I'd just feel guilty. But if you are privileged in that you are able to just switch off when your baby sleeps and get a nap, I mean, brilliant. But don't feel this massive pressure to do it if it doesn't work for you, because when people used to say to me, just sleep when he sleeps, I'd be like, oh, you're going to run my business, are you? Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah. It's really hard, isn't it? And, you know, even if you're not working on your business, I know this sounds really silly, but there's laundry to do. There's clearing up to do. There's, you know.
You might not have eaten yet today.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nappies to be put out. There's all sorts of things happening. I think I've got a three-year-old trying to break in here.
Oh, hi, three-year-old.
I'm not sure if she's going to make it. let's leave her attempting.
Love it.
You are meant to be in bed. But yeah, I would say those. the biggest one that's made a difference to me is getting up, if you can, just a few minutes earlier before them. And I think there's a it's really difficult, isn't it, in the evening, weighing up, do you have time for yourself, have a bath, relax, maybe give yourself a mini manicure, I don't know, whatever makes you feel less of a mess, or go to bed. Because, you know, so many people are like, just go to bed, Amaldine's in bed, Elwood's in bed, go to bed. I'm like, yeah, but that means I've had no time
for myself. Time for me,
no time at all. And, you know, I'll then find myself going to bed at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, because I'll do an hour of work and then I'll do maybe, you know, I'll take a shower. I'll maybe read my book for a bit and Hendrik could come in and be like, why are you still reading? I'm like, because I'm having a lovely moment.
I'm just having some peaceful time. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody needs
And I think that kind of rest is almost as valuable, I think, and probably equally actually as supportive of our mental health as it is to go to sleep in those moments, I think.
Oh, absolutely. The amount of times I've woken up from being asleep for probably about 3 hours thinking, are you joking? Have I actually just been asleep? Because I don't feel rested. I do not feel rested. You know, I wake up thinking, have I actually just been asleep? Or was I dreaming that I was asleep because there was just so much going on in my brain or just wasn't able to relax clearly?
Yeah.
So I completely agree with that. I think sometimes just doing something that isn't sleep but is restful is almost just as good.
So Emma, I usually ask for three top tips at the end of a podcast. I feel like you've just given us some really great top tips. But is there anything else you want to add?
There are a couple that I did actually write down because
you're so fire away
and told me you were going to ask this. I'm so bad. I never say to people previously, like, what are your top tips? I just throw the question.
Oh, that's fine. We like a bit of spontaneity.
So number one would be just, and I know I've said this on the podcast, but just to reiterate, let go of what others are doing around you. Mm-hmm. Just let it go. Because
the
amount of times I have got myself almost to the point of anger because Elwood's not sleeping. I get so worked up thinking, you're meant to be sleeping. This is meant to be happening. Why is this not happening? Everyone else is sleeping right now. You know, once I've let that go and I've just thought and channeled the, I've offered the opportunity, I have offered it. When I can get myself into that zone, it's a happier place for both me and Elwood to be in, and just to try and let go of the frustration. This is similar, but do what's right for you, whether it's co-sleeping, feeding to sleep, sleep training, do what is sustainable, and that's going to change. I think a lot of the time, you know, you come into new motherhood thinking, oh, I'm never going to sleep train my baby. There's no way I'm going to let my baby cry. Actually, your opinion or your view might change depending on what baby you have, and that's okay. And I think there's a lot of guilt attached to thinking, oh, I'm never going to let them cry, and then thinking the only way I can get through this is to let them cry a little bit and figure it out for themselves. And you know what, with Elwood, I always thought, I'm not going to let you cry because you go so crazy. But sometimes me going into the room makes
it worse.
So much worse.
Mm.
And I kick myself when I go in and I think, why did I just do that? Because he probably would have figured it out for himself had I given him a couple more minutes. But it was a weakness of mine, not a weakness of his, that made me go in the room. What's the other one that I said? Seek and ask for help if you need it, because doing this by yourself is tough, really, really tough. And squeeze in the hours for you, like I said previously, just if you can. That's more than three, sorry, but there you go. Squeeze in those hours.
You broke the rule.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, Emma, they are fantastic tips. Thank you so much. I really hope that the sleep fairies are out for you tonight.
So am I.
And that your three-year-old doesn't break through the door.
You know, she's got it. Actually, Hendrik stepped in. I can hear him outside saying, stop knocking on the door.
I love it.
You know what? The last time I spoke to you, though, Elwood slept through that night. So I do truly believe that you are my sleep fairy.
Okay. So I'm thinking of you, shining all the dust down.
I'm holding out tonight. This is on you. No, I'm joking. It's not.
No pressure at all felt by me right now, Emma. Thank you so much. You're an absolute star.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'd be hugely grateful if you could take a moment to leave a quick review. It honestly means the world to me to hear from you as a listener. And of course, to ensure you don't miss upcoming episodes, hit subscribe too. Remember, I'm here to support you through pregnancy, birth, and beyond, through my range of pregnancy, birth prep, and postpartum courses at midwifepip.com. I hope to get to know you better and to help you on your empowering journey soon.